Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Biz Talk this morning. My name's Tony Bush in the studio with Randy Melzer. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Tony, and welcome to an absolutely beautiful, beautiful day out there today.
Yep, it's a gorgeous weekend. We hope you enjoy it, and we're glad you're with us. And our guest this morning is Mr. Kurt Haling. Kurt is a partner with the Alberts & Haling CPA firm. Alberts & Haling's, if you listen to the program, you already know Alberts & Haling is a very key sponsor to our Biz Talk program. We're very glad to have Kurt in the studio this morning. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking about business transitions, exit strategies, and different ways to capitalize on all the hard work you put into your business and get paid for it. So stay tuned, and you'll have an opportunity to ask Kurt some questions. But first, we want to tell you about the SCORE chapter. The SCORE chapter brings you Biz Talk each weekend. The SCORE chapter in Appleton is located in the Fox Cities Chamber Building. We service an 8-county area from Appleton down through Oshkosh into Fond du Lac. We have probably 40 mentors in our chapter who offer free mentoring advice to business owners and those who would like to start a business. If you'd like to contact the SCORE chapter for some assistance in those regards, you can reach us at foxcities.score.org, or you can call us at 734-7101. In addition to the mentoring that the SCORE chapter does, we also provide some seminars for the business owners or those who'd like to get into business. Randy, tell us about some of the seminars coming up.
All right, Tony. Well, first one, of course, is going to be coming up very shortly. It's going to be on September the 4th, mm-hmm. and that one you're going to be taking care of for
right.
us.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be doing cash flow management, what it's all about, and also your banking relationships. That'll be September the 4th. It'll be at the chamber office at our regular SCORE office located at 125 North Superior Street in Appleton. Registration starts at around 8:30 in the morning. The classes start at 9 and will run through until noon. Mm-hmm. The cost for that is $25, and we'd ask you to get out onto our website and register as soon as possible. It's really a do-not-miss class, because if you are in business or thinking of starting your business, the primary starting point is going to be your cash flow statement, and this is something that every small business has to work with and live with, because I believe one of your favorite statements has something to do with about if you're out of cash, you're out of business. So come see this program and find out how you can stay in business with good cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
The other program that we've got coming up is going to be starting on September the 19th, and that is the first session of our Simple Steps program. The Simple Steps program is a 5-step program. It has 5 classes. The first one on September 19th is a morning class. It starts at 8 o'clock, again, at the Copper Rock Coffee Shop in downtown Appleton. It's $25, and again, registration is online at foxcities.score.org. So please check that out. And as I said, it's the first part of 5. The other 4 programs will be evening programs starting on October the 2nd. They will run the 2nd, the 9th, the 16th, and 23rd of October. They are at the SCORE office, again, at the chamber office. And those are, again, $25 each. They will be covering business basics, what types of business there are, what the different entities are all about. They'll be talking about marketing and how to use standard marketing practices, as well as working with social media. The third program is on financial statements, what they mean, how to put them together. Mary Lou Vandehei, our chapter chair, will be talking about those programs. And then the last one will be the where do I find the money portion of it. And again, very, very important for those of you thinking about starting a business. We'll be talking about the traditional forms of financing, bank loans, SBA loans, that type of thing. And we'll also be talking about the non-traditional mm-hmm. equity financing, things like crowdfunding, that type of thing, angel investors.
Hitting up Uncle George.
Well, that's the three Fs out there, your friends, fools, and family. So yes, if you can find them to borrow you money, that's always a good place to start. But anyway, we'll be talking about all these things, so we recommend go out to the SCORE website. That's www.foxcities.score.org. Click on the topics, local workshops, and you can register right there, get everything all signed up, so we're all set for you then.
Yep. Those are good programs, Randy. Thanks for that rundown. And we've done Simple Steps several times, and the folks who have attended Simple Steps have found it to be very beneficial. As Randy mentioned, the fourth session, Mary Lou Vandehei covers the financial statements, balance sheets, income statements, statement of cash flows. We go through a case study, and all the people attending that fourth session receive a disc. And on that disc are all the data that are presented in the five sessions, plus a blank set of financial statements, so the business owner can actually use the case study as a model, go home and put their own numbers into the blank set of financial statements
right,
and see
right.
how the numbers flow.
Yeah, your template.
It's a great program.
Yeah, the template itself is excellent. And again, it takes all of the different information from your cash flow, from your profit and loss, asset liability, puts them all together for you, gives you the ratios, what they mean, and how to use them to make decisions in your business.
In addition, at these Simple Steps programs, you'll be able to meet some SCORE mentors. SCORE mentors attend this program and meet you, and you begin to meet the mentors. And you may be able to find the mentor you can work with in your business venture. So we invite you to go to the foxcities.score.org website, learn more about the upcoming cash flow presentation and the Simple Steps programs. One last thing I want to mention, and Mike Kemeter covered it in the news, but I'd like to repeat it here, is the SBA is offering some discounted loans for disaster assistance to the folks in Outagamie County and contiguous counties. There's a meeting. They're going to be at the Grand Chute Fire Station this morning from 10 till 2 at 2250 West Grand Chute Boulevard. They're also going to be there Monday the 26th through Thursday the 29th from 10 o'clock in the morning till 7 p.m. And to just give you an idea, homeowners who can borrow money into this program will receive an interest rate of 1.9% up to 30 years. Nonprofits can receive interest rates of 2.9%, and businesses can get interest rates of 4%. And the money can be used to repair real estate or personal property, replace personal property. You can learn more about the program by going to disasterloan.sba.gov/ELA, or you can call 800-659-2955. Once again, that number is 800-659-2955.
Right. And just a quick note on that also, you do need to get working on it soon. They do close this type of disaster release program out, and you have until October the 21st to be able to claim physical property damage. And then also when it comes to economic injury, you have until May 21st of 2014. Mm-hmm. But you're going to need to get your ducks in a row. But this is a great program for those of you who suffered losses in the storms the last few weeks. So.
And be prepared to fill out a detailed application for the loans, because you're probably going to need a business plan or a lot of detail about what you lost or documenting lost income. So with that, we're going to take our quick break. We'll come back and meet Kurt Haling on the other side. You're listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY. And good morning again. We're talking this morning with Kurt Haling. We'd like to introduce Kurt. Kurt is a partner with the Alberts & Haling CPA firm, who has been a sponsor of BizTalk for a number of years, and we thank Kurt and his partner for that sponsorship and the support they give us at SCORE. Good morning, Kurt.
Morning, Tony. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Kurt. Good to have you here.
Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do at Alberts & Haling and where you're located, Kurt.
Well, we've been in business now for over 15 years. We've got an office here in the Valley on American Drive. My partner Jim Alberts runs an office in Green Bay, and you can find us in the Valley by calling 886-2241. Our website is alberts-haling-cpas.com, alberts-haling-cpas.com. We've been working with individuals and small businesses, small being anything from the one-man shop to as many as 50 employees. And some of these that are bigger, we've helped them from the time that they were one-man shows up.
You've
to that point
them.
And grown with them, mm-hmm. and worked with them. And from the time that they started almost to the time where they're thinking about, okay, now what do we do? We kind of reached the end and ready to get out of business here a little bit, and it's kind of what we're going to talk about a little bit today.
Do you have a specialty in any industries, Kurt? Do you focus on any particular industry like the medical or manufacturing or anything?
Not necessarily by industry. What we found is with a lot of these small business owners, even though the industry might be different, there might be some special issues with respect to that. A lot of it still comes down to some basic, cash flow issues, tax issues that are going to be pretty similar across several industries, between wholesale, retail, service industries, manufacturing industries. There's going to be a lot of common themes that come into play.
Mm-hmm. Kurt, when you are talking to business owners and they're coming into you to talk about accounting, do you do many startups? Or are you focusing just on existing businesses?
We deal with a fair amount of startups because we'll deal with people that are coming in with an idea and saying, how do I get into business, to the people that have maybe gone through something like a Simple Steps program or something like that, and they're ready to make the leap and open up the business. To people that maybe have just started and finding out that they're maybe in a little bit over their heads on certain things and need to get pointed in the right direction on things.
One of the things that I know SCORE appreciates about the relationship with you and the firm is that when you come to the seminars and do presentations to the SCORE clients, you're very educational. You seem to have a knack to be able to help business owners understand and then go apply what they just learned. It's not just teaching them something and then they're on their own. You seem to follow up and you want to help them apply those things.
Well, we try to explain these things to the business owners in terms that they can understand. And in doing that, it doesn't do any good for us to throw out a bunch of tax code at people, and it doesn't mean anything to them. It's how can I apply this? How does this work in my business? So that's really what we try to do.
Kurt, I know in the past when we worked with you on a lot of stuff, it's always been a case of putting together a good plan, having the proper ideas, documentation, numbers, and so on. One of the parts of that plan, and that was what we were going to talk a little bit about today, I hope, is about the exit strategy. People kind of put that off till the very end. And one of the things we've always talked about is when you should start that strategy. When do you really start implementing an exit strategy?
Well, you should really think about that as you're getting into business. You should think about getting out of business.
Okay.
And we think about that from a couple different perspectives. There's what I call the planned exit strategy and the unplanned exit strategy. The planned is, okay, I'm going to sell the business. I'm going to sell it to this person, whether it's a family member or a key employee, or what we call an external sale, which is to an outside party. Or you're going to run the business till you're 65 and then close the doors because, for whatever reason, there's nothing really there to sell. The unplanned is things like death, disability, which, you can plan for those through insurances. And then there's also the unplanned where, the bank comes to you and says, you don't get to play anymore, and we're taking over and we're taking our assets back and do not pass go, do not collect $200.
Or maybe that big company finds you so valuable, they come and make an offer that you maybe can't refuse.
Well, right, and that's we're actually working with a client right now in that situation, and it's an interesting situation because this gal's very good at what she does, has been in business 6 years, has a good history, but never had a good handle on her numbers. And when she came to us a year ago, she didn't even have a balance sheet put together. Fortunately, it's not a real balance sheet intensive business, where it's not a real equipment intensive business.
Right.
But she got tapped on the shoulder by a regional company saying, we like what you're doing. How much do you want for your business? And we had to help her put together some of those numbers and put together a plan for her. And fortunately, we'd been working with her enough that we were able to get good information to this company so that we had a good situation to negotiate from. This gal started her business 6 years ago. She's going to clear $350,000. Not a bad deal. And have an $85,000 salary to boot.
There you go. Well, Randy, we talk all about at SCORE all the time about the importance of having a good relationship with an accountant.
Absolutely.
And when you're starting up a business, you want to have an accountant that you can trust, who understands your business and works with you and anticipates, kind of knows how you think. So the example Kurt just gave is a very live example of that very item. You know, why do you want to have a good accountant? Because maybe you'll get tapped on the shoulder and someone wants to buy your company and you don't want to get too little money.
You know, it's like any other time when we talk about the professionals that you need, and that is when you need them is too late. Let's get started early and have the plan in place so you know where you're going. So we can kind of talk about how that plan develops and where we start with it as we get back. So, Tony?
Yeah, we're going to take a break right here. We'll come back on the other side for the longer segment, and we'll give out the phone number so you can call in with questions for Kurt on exit strategies. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY. And welcome back to Biz Talk this morning. We're talking with Kurt Haling, who is a partner with Albertson Haling CPA firm. And before we continue our discussion with Kurt, I'd like to just say thank you to all the sponsors who help bring Biz Talk to you each weekend. Those sponsors include Fox Communities Credit Union, Albertson Haling CPAs, Epiphany Law, Tuss House, which is an IT data management company.
Correct. And we're very happy to have them on as one of our newest sponsors.
And then eBiz Results helps us with our BizTalkWithScore.com website. They built it for us. They service it for us. They maintain it with us. And so we appreciate their help and we appreciate their support. eBiz Results in Oshkosh. And finally, Jerry Mader and Larry Dash over at Business News. The Business News is a biweekly periodical. If you're in business and not subscribed to Business News, you really should be for $20 a year. You can find a lot of relevant business information that will help you in your business going on in East Central Wisconsin. So thank you to the sponsors. We really appreciate it. Also, I'd like to give out the phone numbers right now. If you're interested in calling Kurt with a question about exit strategies or pretty much any accounting question, give us a call at 281-1150, 281-1150. And if you're outside Appleton, 1-866-887-1150. And just a caution on the questions. If they're general questions, that would be great, but if you're going to be talking about your own specific situation, perhaps you might want to give Kurt a call next week. And, Kurt, would you give us your contact information again, please?
Yeah, the contact information in the Valley is 886-2241. You can check our website at alberts-haling-cpas.com.
Thanks, Kurt. Now, we want to talk a little bit about an exit strategy. We started to touch on that before the break. Tell us about a general approach business owners can use to be successful in exit strategy, because there's going to be an exit, planned or unplanned.
Right, and when somebody approaches, as a buyer approaches you as a seller of a business, whether it's internal or external, they're going to want to be able to see a couple of things. I mean, the equipment is actually almost secondary in that situation, because a lot of the equipment they could get it at auction, they could get it at somebody's fire sale who couldn't make it, they could get it on Craigslist, whatever it might be. So the equipment, you know, has some value, but the real value of the business is what's called the going concern. You've got your customer list, your employees in place, your systems in place, and you've got a business set up that's moving forward and that's
It's generating
cash flow. And the term that they look for as far as the generating cash flow, it's a term called EBITDA, E-B-I-T-D-A, and that's earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization.
Right.
And what that really determines then is, and it can be developed from financial statements or tax returns, it can be worked out, is what's that business generating? What's that business going to generate for this new buyer based on the business that's there that day? And they tend to go back 3 years, maybe as many as 5 years. Lately it's been 3 years because of how the economy's been changing so quickly. That makes those later years, the 4 and 5 years, almost like ancient history.
Right.
But if you've got the last 3 years of good cash flow and can verify that through EBITDA, then it gets into a matter of, are there formulas in the industry that say it's maybe 5 times EBITDA, 3 times EBITDA, depends on the industry a little bit.
That's what they call a multiple.
A multiplier, exactly. Yeah. It might be 3 times, it might be 5 times. Other situations, it might be times revenue. For example, CPA firms tend to be one times revenue, but that still is based on the cash flow that the business generates. Everything else is a subset of that.
Isn't a buyer really interested, if they're going to pay $1 million for a business, they're interested in knowing how long that business will take to pay them back that $1 million.
Well, exactly, because they're going to figure out what's their return on their investment if they're going to have to shell out $1 million.
Okay, Kurt, you mentioned the multiples and only said, as a business person, how do I find something like that? Where do I get at least a hint that my particular industry or my particular type of business has a multiple of times my whatever?
There's industry standards, and you can check your industry, you know, through either trade associations or through your industry background. There's also, if you do some Google searches, you can find some industry standards that you can buy through. You may have to buy them. You may be able to just download them without having to buy them through some Google searches. Mm-hmm. That can get you those sorts of things as well. And a lot of times those searches will have ranges. So it's not necessarily hard and fast, you know, one times or three times EBITDA or five times EBITDA. It may be a range, and that range is going to be dependent on the what's going on in the industry. Is it a dying industry, like, you know, some of the newspaper industry, for instance, we were talking about before the show, has been
I wouldn't say it's a dying industry, but you could say it's an industry in transition.
That's a good way of saying it, yes.
Well, the print media is declining, and newspapers are going more to the electronic media.
Right.
So they're transitioning, but the old standard newspapers are just getting smaller and smaller.
They're getting smaller and smaller and generating less revenue.
And it happens that way in all kinds of businesses all the time. So if a business owner is thinking about starting, let's say they started their business, Kurt, and they're 40 years old, and they're going along really well, and it's a little manufacturing company. Now, what should they be thinking about? What are some of the things they need to position in order to deal with that eventuality when there's going to be an exit?
Well, number one, you can insure against certain things. Life insurance, disability. When we look at buy-sell agreements, and I'll explain what that means in a second, typically, there's a provision in there for life insurance, but a lot of times the disability side gets missed. That's one that you really got to look at. And that buy-sell agreement is, if there is multiple owners or if there's a key employee involved, what a buy-sell agreement does is that's the agreement between those individuals. It says, here's how we're going to transition this business. If something happens to me as an owner, here's how it gets transitioned to either the other partner or to this key employee. Because what happens is if something were to happen to you as the owner and you're married, your spouse all of a sudden is in business, whether they want to be or not.
Mm-hmm. And doesn't understand it.
And may not understand it, and now you've got a partner involved, or you've got a partner in the bank involved who has to deal with this individual. There's got to be a transition plan in place. So that's what that buy-sell documents, and the life insurance and disability insurance are subsets of that. And
life insurance can fund a transition without having to go to the bank to fund it.
Correct.
Right. Karen, you did mention something that I run into with people, is they say, I'm the only person, it's my business, it's just me, why do I need this? And you just said the problem is, you know, you actually do have partners even though you're by yourself.
Right. And we've been working with a gal, for instance, a good example, we've been working with a gal who has been talking with I guess you'd say a friendly competitor, but they're not necessarily in the area, but they'd kind of like to get a presence in the area. Well, this gal's getting to be in her 60s, and now she's having some serious discussions with this group in putting together a buy-sell agreement. So if something does happen to her, that company could buy out her agency here, and she'd be in number one, that group would be able to get a presence in the valley. It gives her a transition plan. It's a win-win for each party.
On that, that's something, you know, you have to have a team of people when you put this together, the buy-sell agreement or any of the other transition agreements. Who should you have on that team?
Well, obviously, it's a legal document, so you want to have the attorney on the team. You want to have the accountant on the team because they're going to be helping develop those numbers. You want to have an insurance person involved with that, as we talked about, the life and disability insurance. And you want to keep I think you want to keep the bank up to date as well,
right. Okay.
So that they know what happened, so that they've got a comfort level.
Good. Okay. Okay.
None of those parties, Randy, none of those people really enjoy surprises.
Oh, yeah.
So
no.
Surprises are really hard to deal with, and it creates a lot of unknown, a lot of speculation. So the planning part is really good.
The attorney might, because they get to bill more, but that's...
They get to bill more. Well, we'll talk about that when they're back on the show.
We'll talk to Kevin and company on that one.
But, Kurt, when we're talking about a business owner, again, 40 years old, start a business, they have three children. If their plan is to transition the business to their children, what are some considerations that they can think about, you know, assuming there are no unplanned exits here? it just plans and all works out. What should they be thinking about in terms of the kids?
Well, as far as the kids go, think about, do the kids have the moxie to actually run the business? And you've got to be able to look at that objectively. And if you're having a hard time looking at it objectively, talk to some of your people that you're dealing with, your accountant, your attorney, some of the other key people in the business. And deep down, you've got a pretty good idea whether or not they can run the business. And it, in many situations, it might be one of the three children in that scenario really has the moxie to run the business and take it over. And then, you know, parents, that being parents, they want to be fair to the other kids. Well, what's fair in that situation? You've got to decide what that is, and everybody's definition of fair changes depending on how it affects them. So that's a real tough one. But you want to have, you want to be able to get that in place, because if something does happen, you don't want to have the family squabble the day after the funeral.
There's a strategy there I'm hearing, Kurt, and that is that the business owner, the parents who are planning to transition to their three children, would probably be well served if they retain the services of someone to facilitate this process, not just try to do it as a family group themselves, because they may not have the broad background where the facilitator might have.
They may not have the broad background. They may not know what the options are
right
out there. Whereas somebody who can facilitate something like this, you know, may see these things on a daily, weekly basis.
Right.
Yeah, and of course, one of the main reasons that you want to have this thing in place, again, as you said, something unexpected, you're not in a position as a small business to be able to take the amount of cash that you may need to settle with one member of the family or another member of the family or whatever without completely destroying the business, bringing it to its knees and making it non-functional. So when you're planning, that's one of the reasons you're doing this.
Right, because, you know, using the scenario with the three kids, if one's involved in business and the other two aren't, the two that aren't may have very different ideas of what that business is worth compared to what it's really worth. They may come in thinking it's worth $10 million because you've got a building,
right,
not understanding that you've got a loan against the building,
right,
and whatever else is out there.
What are some of the practical daily, annual applications business owners can use to prepare for that transition, whether it's a planned or unplanned exit strategy? I mean, budgeting is an important one.
Budgeting is an important one because, obviously, you know, things like the insurance we talk about, you've got to be able to budget for the premiums involved with that, and you've got to be able to budget for some of the other steps involved with that. And by having the budget in place, it also shows that you're understanding where your business is going. So that buyer that taps you on the shoulder, you know, they're going to look at historical records. But if you've got budget and show and say, hey, here's where we're going, here's what we're planning, that goes a long way in their eyes as well, because it shows that you're proactive as well. The other thing that I would suggest is, at least at the very least on an annual basis, think through the different scenarios of how the business could be transitioned and the what-if scenarios. Mm-hmm. And think through some of those what-if scenarios. If somebody came in and approached you, if something happened, you know, physically that you couldn't be in business, is there a key employee who's starting to develop that could eventually take it over? Or, and if there is, then, you know, put the steps in place to keep that person there, keep them happy so they don't go across the street and start their own business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also like even an unplanned exit, think about who might step into the spouses who's most contributing and most critical to the success of the business. If that person is disabled or killed in a car accident, give some thought to who might be able to come in and help run that company until the business can be sold or until a decision can be made about transitioning to the children.
Right, because otherwise you're in a situation where you're going to have just a fire sale of assets and you're going to get pennies on the dollar compared to what that business is really worth as a going concern.
Let's talk about, like this, you always hear about two sets of books, and in some businesses, it's more prominent than others, but for those businesses, owners who want to sell their business, they're better off to really play it by the rule.
You really are, because nobody's in a 100% tax bracket, even though you may feel like it at April 15th some years. By showing a full reporting of what the business is really doing, you're being straight with the buyer as well, and that's going to help increase the value of the business as well. If you're taking money off the top and not putting it on tax returns and then handing tax returns to buyers saying, well, here's what it shows, but here's what we're really doing, buyers are going to look at you and say, okay, how do I know that that's right? You're lying to the government. Now, how do I know you're being truthful with me?
And then how do you take that kind of information to the bank to get your loan or whatever you need to buy that business?
Right, you just put the buyer in a bad situation as well.
Right. The banker won't do it. And really, I think the big picture is if people play the accounting by the rules and they don't do the cash thing, they might pay a little more in taxes and so on, but they're going to get it all back when they sell the business. Yeah. They're just going to get a better price for it.
As long as they're thinking through everything that we've been talking about, sure.
Yeah.
And I just want to reinforce one thing you said, and that is, again, how often should I reevaluate the value of my business, and how often should I reevaluate my exit strategy?
At least annually. Because with that, you could go through and you get your tax return done every year. So, I mean, right there's your starting point. You can take that and put it into your EBITDA calculation. Mm-hmm. What's my business worth? Did we grow in value? Did we not grow? If not, why not? And what do we need to do to change?
Okay. Kurt, there's also another dimension to, like Randy said, doing this annually is very important. Or you said it, but it's a question. But the business owner should know by some standard or comparison how he's comparing to his peers.
Right, and that's another one where Robert Morris Associates has some information online that you can find that based on industry standards, and it's a good one. And what they do is they actually do break it down into small business categories. So, for instance, a small time retail business isn't comparing themselves to Walmart. You know, it does break it down as far as the size of the business.
It breaks it down by asset size and by sales size.
Correct.
And I think for that comparison, you need your NAICS number.
Yes,
because that's how RMA does it.
Right,
they do it by NAICS numbers. Right. You can Google NAICS and get your NAICS number. It's a 6-digit number,
and it's typically on tax return too.
Yes. Okay, yeah, and also just as a note, we've been partnering with the Appleton Public Library recently and working with them as a resource. And when it comes to getting RMA reports, their resource desk actually has those available, so you can go up to the Appleton Public Library if you have a library card, and sit down and say, this is the business I'm in. You can give them your business, that number, that 6-digit number, and they can find that information out for you. So it's a great resource.
And a lot of lenders in the Valley have it free for business owners as well. And a lot of it comes online. Some lenders still have the book, but they can make copies of the pages.
Yep.
With that, we're going to come up on our last break. We'll take our last break here, come back and finish the final segment, Kurt. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY. Now, welcome back to Biz Talk this morning. We're going to have our final session here with Kurt Haling. I'd like to give out the phone numbers one more time. We might have some time for a question or two if you'd like to call in. 281-1150, 281-1150 in Appleton, outside Appleton, 866-887-1150. Kurt, we were talking about the exit strategies and things going on, and we talked about planning. Any summary comments or observations you want to offer?
Well, we talked about having an annual meeting, I guess, for lack of a better term, and by meeting with the key advisors involved, and also meet with some of the people involved that would be part of this exit strategy, whether it's the kids involved or as well as the kids that may not be involved in the business, so that everybody in the family knows what the plan is, and as well as the key advisors with your business, the accountant, the attorney, the insurance person, and the lender, so that everybody has an understanding of what's going to happen at some point. And key employees, have that discussion with them as well. Make sure that they want to take over the business. That's kind of a big deal too.
Don't assume that.
Yeah, that don't necessarily make that assumption, because their vision may not necessarily be your vision.
Right. And then understand what their philosophy is about the business. The dad builds the business. Mom and dad build a business with this philosophy. The kids are looking at it with a different philosophy, and that big change might be too radical for the business to survive that.
Right, because then you may end up with a lot of employee turnover of people who've been there. You may start losing customers, and you do see that with second and third generation businesses.
What are the challenges? What challenges do parents who make the transition face? Now they've turned it over to their son or their daughter or the other person. They have to kind of stay out of it.
They need to stay out of it. I call it the one-way ticket to Florida. It doesn't necessarily need to be that way, but in any time when there's a transition, whether it's to the kids or whether it's to a key employee or even an external person, to external party, a lot of times they say, oh, the business owner will stay on for a period of time after. I like to have that period be as short as reasonably possible, because whoever takes this business owner is not going to run it the way that you did, and you're going to look at it and you're going to scratch your head and you're going to say, well, why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? At that point, you don't own it anymore and you can't call any shots anymore.
Mm-hmm. And you don't want to discourage the purchaser of the business, because there might be some sort of residual income coming back to the seller for a number of years.
Exactly, because many times you as the seller need to finance that part of the business, and that's part we didn't really talk too much about, but you may need to hold something back and you may have some money coming in. Yes, you want to make sure you get paid, and so you want to have an understanding of what's going on there, but at the same time, you know, again, you don't get to call the shots on how they're running the business. You're basically the bank at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Kurt, a lot of the things we just were talking about today is all involved with planning. And, of course, we usually, when we talk to you, we get into the concept of tax planning, things for especially for 2013 now, and where you should be at in your planning strategy. You want to comment on that right now?
Well, we're getting to the point where you can start looking at 2014 already as far as how is 2013 looking like it's going to finish up, what plans are you going to make for 2014, and starting to put pencil and paper or start putting some spreadsheets together on that as well. Because with that, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, but, you know, looking forward, you've got to get a good understanding of what's coming up and what you need to worry about.
Do things seem to be stabilizing a little bit more in the area of the taxes and planning?
To a certain degree, yes, but we could do a whole nother show on the whole healthcare situation.
Well, we've got one scheduled, we'll have you coming back for that one for sure.
Yeah, we'd like to be able to say that things are stable in a tax arena, but if we follow the news, the IRS is all over the place right now, and there's lots of changes.
In more ways than one.
Yeah. Kurt, we always ask our guests to leave a biz tip and any observations about anything.
I would say with respect to today is when you get into business, plan on getting out of business.
Yep.
Okay.
And you attended that cash flow presentation.
Yeah, I did, and that's a really good presentation, and it's in real world numbers. It's in real world scenarios. Not a lot of bank or speaker or anything like that. A lot of real world scenarios in there that make it down earth for business owners to understand, and really some good information in there. I'd encourage anyone who can get there to get there.
I'd like to just reiterate that cash flow seminar is scheduled for September 4.
Correct.
And it's going to be at 8:30 in the morning at the Chamber Building.
Right. That's at 125 North Superior.
Yep.
When you come in, best thing to do is plan on using the parking ramp for parking.
Right.
And it's very, very convenient. It's right next door to us there. And then come on in. We will be in the lower level, and we'll have coffee ready to go. And like I said, it's a three-hour program. And
we talk about the difference between profit and cash flow. We go through some examples, calculations on break-even analysis. We go through the ratios. You referred to ratios, Randy,
mm-hmm.
leverage, debt service, working capital ratios. And we wrap it all up with how do you take all that information now and approach a lender, and how do you manage the banking relationship but not be managed by it?
Right. So go out to www.foxcities.score.org. Take a look at the tab for local workshops. You will see the events listed there. This is under the Successful Cash Flow Management Strategies and Managing Your Banking Relationships. And believe me, it's well worth the $25 fee for it.
Thanks, Randy. The other thing we want to mention is, unfortunately, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be off the air because
right.
the Badger bump is coming. So the Badger pregame show starts at 9 o'clock on Saturday mornings. BizTalk will not be on the air for the next two Saturdays, but we'll be returning the Saturday after that.
Right.
So don't give up on Score, because we're not giving up on you.
Right. And we'll be happy, looking forward to coming back again in 2 weeks, get everybody back on the air, and answer any of your questions for those of you out there. Also, don't forget about the SBA's disaster insurance
right.
program.
Right. And we'd also like to say that the Buckies go Bucky, and we hope the games are shorter than the Packer game last night. Well, you've been listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.